Welcome back to Copper Country Today, and I'm joined in studio right now by two folks who worked on the movie Superior, which was filmed last summer and it recently had its premiere at the Calumet Theater, the Michigan premiere anyways, at the end of July, and I had a little bit of experience working with these guys last summer when they were here shooting the film, so it's my pleasure to welcome Ed Benda and Paul Stanko to Copper Country Today, folks. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having us, Rick.
Rick, it's good seeing you again.
So, you guys, this is a year post of filming the thing.
That's right. It's been a fun year, and it's good to be back in Calumet.
It sure flies. Time definitely flies. Yeah.
Now, how did things kind of wrap up? I know that you were here on Copper Country Today last year while you were here filming.
Right.
So, just give us kind of a brief... I suppose we should start, Ed. Tell us what the film is about. That's the best way to start.
So Superior, it's inspired by a true story from right here in the Keweenaw. It's about two 18-year-old best friends in the summer of 1969 who go on a 1,300-mile bike ride around Lake Superior and discover a lot about who they are as young men and finding their place in the world.
And you're from this local area as well.
I'm originally from downstate, from Birmingham, Michigan, just north of Detroit. But my dad's family is deeply rooted here. My grandmother went to Calumet High School, and her father, Gustav Gentila, immigrated from Finland here to Calumet, Michigan. And so my extended family are all deeply rooted here in the Keweenaw Peninsula.
Now, you said it's based on a true story. Is the story itself true, or was it inspired?
It's inspired by a true story, is an important distinction. So my uncle Carl Benda and his cousin Dan Dudza Gentila went on this bike ride in 1971 around Lake Superior. And so while that is inspired by their adventure, the kind of hijinks and things that happen along the way are actually more of a patchwork quilt of my dad being one of nine kids and a lot of adventures that they grew up going on and experiences they had are kind of sprinkled throughout this entire film.
Okay. Now, Ed, you're the director of the film, but besides being the director, you're also the writer of the script.
Correct, yeah.
And it took, how long did it take you to write that?
So I first heard the story and was inspired at this point it's about 4 years ago. And I started writing the script and I kind of shelved it for a few years and then really jumped back into it about a year prior to filming. And so it was really about a six-month intensive writing process to get the script to a place where we were ready to film it.
And Paul, how did you get on board with the project?
Ed actually approached me in a bar one night, one dark and stormy night. Ed invited me out to just hang out, and he was like, "Hey, I wanted to kind of tell you about a project that I was working on." And he, we were actually sitting at a table that had a map of America on it, and he told me the story that is told in the movie, and he was like, "This is something that my uncle and his cousin had done, and I've written kind of an adaptation and an inspired story about that, and I'm interested in having you work with me on it." And he showed me the route we'd be taking from California all the way up to Calumet, Michigan. I didn't know the mitten trick about the map of Michigan. You've got one on your body.
It's a double.
You can
the double mitten.
The double mitten. That's right. And then on top of where the Keweenaw Peninsula is. So it just sounded like the adventure of a lifetime when Ed pitched it to me, and turns out he was right. It was, and then we brought Thatcher Robinson on board. He's the other actor who plays Charlie. My cousin in the film, I'm Derek, and Thatcher's Charlie. We brought him on. He's also from Los Angeles, California, to kind of complete the initial team, and then came out here, and you helped us set up all those wonderful auditions so that we could connect with the local talent around Calumet and Houghton and Hancock, and thus completed the Superior the movie family.
That's so, it. There it was.
There it was, yeah.
Well, I was very fortunate to be a part of it, as you mentioned, and to be around a little bit while, you know, things were kind of going. I wasn't able to dedicate as much time as I would have liked because I had a little film premiere of my own going on.
Yeah, that's right. With Mutt, we got to see that. That was one of the first things we did in Calumet was go to go see Mutt.
That was the last movie I saw at the Calumet Theater.
Likewise, yes.
Before Superior.
Where all great Michigan movies premiere, the Calumet Theater.
I'll agree. At least the last couple ones have been great there. So
definitely. How's the film? Because you were kind of starting back when we first met you. You were kind of really trying to get films to come out to Michigan and film out here and kind of kickstart the independent film industry. And, you know, how has that been going? Have you seen the kind of return that you were hoping for on that, or is it still a building process of trying to get, you know, people to come out and see the Copper Country for as beautiful as it is?
Well, the effort didn't go as well as hoped. My company had to close down. I went out of business. Maybe that's still a dream that could be addressed at some point, but, you know, money is something that, you know, was desperately needed, even after you finish the film.
Definitely.
You know, it's kind of like, okay, the easy part's done.
Right.
And now that you've made the movie, now, you know, kind of carrying it on. And you're in that stage right now where, you know, your movie's done. You had your big, you know, great premiere over in California. You have your Michigan premiere now, and you're doing the circuit and doing the talk shows, and everything's going really, really well. But behind the scenes right now, work is really still continuing on.
Yeah.
Even though production-wise, you know, Paul, like your role in the film is done. But let's kind of bring that back to Ed here. Now that the movie's done and you had your premiere, what are things, you know, what are you sort of handling right now?
Well, so the next phase of the process is distribution. What we're working on is building an audience for this film. Is movies can have kind of two qualities of market value, inherent market value or kind of your own generated market value. And as much as I love Paul Stanko and Thatcher Robinson, a reality is people all over the world don't know their names yet. They will, but they don't know them yet.
That is the hope.
Yeah. And so without, you know, superstars in our film, we have to create our own audience, and we have to prove that this is a movie that people want to see. And so in showing it, you know, in Hollywood and in Michigan and going to other places in the country and having people see it and get excited about the film, what that does is it demonstrates to a TV network or an online distributor or, you know, a Netflix or any sort of other video on demand that you're familiar with that this is a movie that people want to see. And then our goal is ultimately to put the film in a position where anyone and everyone can see it.
And it's all about, too, like, you know, going around the country, kind of taking the film to different festivals and doing sort of premieres like this one so that other independent movie houses can show Superior to folks out in other places, not just Michigan and Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's a grueling process, too, you know, trying to get a distributor. You know, even myself, you know, when I was taking my first steps into making a film, you know, didn't really understand just how difficult that was going to be. I likened it to if you wrote a book, trying to get your first book published. A lot of times you have to incur the cost of publishing it yourself. You may have written a tremendous novel, but nobody will touch it because you've not been published before, and what they're looking for as a distributor is a return on their investment. You know, are they going to make money by distributing your film? Without a track record established, that's really difficult to do. Like you said, no big name stars in your film. Once you've got the first one out there, it does get easier. But even with like Netflix and other platforms that you mentioned, what, you know, usually the general public doesn't understand is you can't make a film and just send it into Netflix. They won't even look at it. It's got to come from a distributor that they're familiar with.
Right. And so that's exactly where we are, is kind of creating those inroads and being in the early stages of those conversations. And as you mentioned, you know, once you've made the first one, it's easier on the second one. But the problem is, you know, we're still on the first one. And so we're dealing with a lot of those challenges, which we're excited about. And we knew coming into the film we'd be facing, and it certainly helps that, you know, we made what I truly believe is a wonderful film that people have enjoyed and critics have enjoyed and general audiences have enjoyed, and we're doing our best every day to kind of parlay that into opportunities for the film to to get it out into the world.
Yeah, and boy, there's no better business card than a Michigan-made movie, I think. Ed's right. The movie looks fantastic, and you'll be able to see that, hopefully in theaters near you at some point, or online, or in one of those outlets. And I think it really is. It's fun for me to be able, when people ask me as an actor, what have you done or what are you working on, which are two huge questions in Hollywood, I get to say Superior, the movie, and it's always something that impresses people a lot. And I have, and it's from the top of the ladder to the bottom, you know, people are very excited about projects like these, because not only are we young filmmakers, but we are kind of first time filmmakers. Yep. This is the big project for all of us, is Superior. And so to be able to have something that looks so good and is of such high quality right out of the gate, I think is a testament not only to the creative team, but also to the possibilities that are the potential that all filmmakers have. So
now the production value of Superior, the movie, was really, really good from what I've seen so far. It was, you know, following along through your social media posts during the post-production era, you had a lot going on. You know, filming again is as much as we put so much effort into it, it's part of the easiest thing to do is to film it. And going back to post-production, talk about that process.
Yeah, so we packed up the caravan on July 19th here in the UP and drove 3.5 days back to Los Angeles, and then turned the film over to our editor, Nick Johnson. Yeah. And the beauty of editing is it's often referred to as the last rewrite of a story.
Totally.
And Nick Johnson is an incredibly talented editor and storyteller. And so I basically, as a director, granted Nick a first opportunity to make the film in post-production. And he put it together, and from that first cut onwards was about took us almost to November, December. So it took a few months, which is a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah, it is.
And he and I ironed the film out together, and then we had some test screenings with a few, you know, select people to really kind of gauge people's responses. And so then, you know, we edit the film with Nick, and then when we officially have a picture lock, so the picture is no longer going to be touched, then we move on to sound editing the film. So then we work with some incredible sound designers, Aaron Davies and Andrew Williams, who sound designed the film, and they add all sorts of crazy things. One of my favorite parts of filmmaking is called Foley art, and that's when you're adding the literal footsteps as well as a myriad of other sounds to the film to kind of build the world. They say sound is one of the first things that really creates, really ups your production value, is when it sounds real, you don't really notice it. It's when something sounds bad that you notice it. So we focus really hard on creating good sound. And then we had an incredible score from Jeff Tinsley, who I've had the opportunity to work with. This was our fourth project working together, our first feature film, of course. And so then you kind of just keep adding pieces to the puzzle, and then the movie's done at some point. At one point, you output it for the last time. I heard it described best as, there used to be a time in film where you printed it, and you could only print it once, and that was your print. And nowadays, you just output. And if you need to change it, you just output it again. So it eventually reached a point where we output the final version of Superior, which is what we played in the Chinese Theater in Hollywood, what we played at the Calumet Theater here in Calumet, and it is, it was a process. So all of that, from the day we left on July 19th, 2014, to the day where we officially said the movie is done, quote unquote, was in itself about a 7-month process. So we filmed for 21 days, and then we're cutting the film together for almost 200 days. Yeah.
Well, there's film post-production.
Yeah, there it is. I really was parsing it out for myself. It's the first time I've actually looked at the numbers. Yeah, it's like about 10 times as long in post-production.
Talking right now with Ed Benda and Paul Stanko. They are part of the team that put together the film Superior. Ed was the writer and director. Paul played one of the main characters in the film. We also had a lot of local people that were in this movie who played a huge role in it. Harvey Desnick, Pazzi Latala, Chris Cairo, Sherry Sarin, and Brian Downing, who all appear in the film. Talk about your reception here by the Copper Country people, because we were very happy to host you.
It was incredible. In our business, it's a business predicated on the word no. People will always basically find a way to turn you down, and that's to be expected when they're in Hollywood, when there are tons of projects coming your way, when there are tons of young filmmakers trying to film in your backyard. You know, it's a business predicated on the word no. But we came here to a region, to a place where people love to find a way to say yes, who love to help, who love to be involved, be it, making a film or building a pole barn or, really kind of anything, is people want to help and they want to be involved. And so to come here, and if we needed a place to film, every door felt like it was unlocked. If we were hungry, every kitchen was willing to stay open. When we needed actors and talent, and those are long days. Filming is a long process. People were willing to stick around and be helpful, and it's just such an incredibly beautiful place that it was like God built this place to be filmed, to be captured, to be photographed, and so the combination of the region and the people, I just count myself lucky that we just got here first or second, I suppose, behind you, Rick. Yeah,
it really was. It's the reception has been nothing but welcoming for every time we've come back to Calumet. It made me want to come back many more times in the future, and I hope I get the opportunity to, because Michigan is one of those. Kind of in contrast to a city like Los Angeles is a great American homeland. It's kind of one of those places that still feels like a small town communities, as opposed to the sprawling metropolis that we're surrounded by out there in LA, where everybody's the rush hour traffic here in Calumet is 5 cars passing in 12 hours, where in Los Angeles it's 1,200 cars passing in 5 minutes.
So. Hey, I had to wait 5 minutes yesterday to cross the street, so that
took a long time. Wow, gridlock out there, yeah.
Jeez.
So you had your premiere, it was at, you said, the Chinese Theater in Hollywood.
Yes.
Besides the Calumet Theater, I can't imagine a better place to have a premiere for a film. Let's take you to right before the show begins. What's going through your mind?
Anything and everything. It was we were so astounded by the sheer number of people that showed up to see the film. We sold out the 450-seat theater, and lots of friends and family, lots of people I didn't know. And so when you have strangers showing up to see the movie, that's kind of cool, because friends and family will support you, through thick and thin. And so I'm just kind of sweating bullets, and it's weird thoughts start to pop through your head, like, oh, I hope the movie does, hope the projector doesn't break, I hope, like all sorts of, worst case scenarios are running through your head, is like, oh, what if I have to go to what if I have to vomit, it's like, you're just,
we all hope that wouldn't happen.
Well, it's, you're just going through, all of this, but then it is kind of, there's this magic moment. So there's this fervor and excitement, and we were doing interviews and we were on the red carpet and we're taking a bunch of photos and we had a little party beforehand, and but then there was this wonderful moment where, the lights dim and it goes dark. And there's this silence. There's this beautiful quiet right before the opening card of the film comes up. And it was in that kind of silent moment that I think I finally breathed for the first time in about an hour or a week or a day, much longer. And then I just... it was out of my hands. It was out of our hands, and it sounds so cheesy, but it really, for the next 84 minutes, the moment belonged to Superior, belonged to the film, and man, it was best 84 minutes of my life.
Yeah, surreal. And Ed kind of gave you a very good picture of what it's like as for the individual, but to keep in mind, we were in a 450 seat theater, so it wasn't just us watching this film. You know, it was us and hundreds of other people, and it's an overwhelming and wonderfully humbling experience to be in a place where so many people have come to see what you've made, you know. And it's I think that's the same even if there's five people in the room or 5,000. It is nerve-wracking, but it's also very comforting and just a wonderfully, you know, supportive experience to be able to share that with so many people, and whether they like it or not, you know, just the opportunity to have your work be seen by other eyes who you know, and what get something out of it.
Yeah, and what I found so kind of incredible is at that point I have seen the film close to 100 times.
Yeah.
You know, if not more.
Yeah.
And it's almost you're so close to it you forget what made it incredible in the first place. And you know, I love the film every time I watch it. I fall in love with it all over again.
Well, that's
good.
But
And I have made things in my career that I don't like to watch.
Shame. Very much. Absolutely. That's
but
fun.
What was so magical about you know, that moment in the Chinese theater is all of those 450 people are experiencing the film for the first time.
Yeah.
And through their eyes, I got to watch it for the first time. And I got to go, oh, yeah, that was funny.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that moment is there. It did work. Okay, it did play.
Yeah.
You know, and so to experience it, to just, it was like just a childlike wonder of, oh, wow, yes, it's working. They're loving it. This, it's happening.
It's just so cool to see it on the big screen. You know, you hear that phrase thrown around all the time, like, on the big screen or up in lights, and even still, I've been fortunate enough to see some of the work that I've done premiere at various places and have that experience a few times. But it never really gets less exciting, especially like even just rolling in to Calumet for the premiere of Superior, when we came in at like, you know, midnight, we went down Main Street in Calumet, and the Calumet Theater already had Superior on the marquee, and we all just got goosebumps. It was like,
it's,
you know,
cool.
it's always so amazing to get to see that as artists, because that's, you know, we work for obviously the fun of it and all of those things, but to see other people excited about our film is just a wonderful experience.
And no matter how many times you see it on a computer screen when you're editing it or watching it, you know, a finished video file, it does not replace the first time it appears up on the big screen.
Oh, definitely.
It really, it can't compare. And that's kind of, you know, we want to be in theaters. We want people to come out and see it on the big screen, and we're working towards that. Because we know that that's where what this movie was made for, was to be on a big screen, to be on a big sound system, and to really be immersive. Part of me, you know, dies a little bit inside at the prospect that people might watch it on their, you know, 13-inch laptop, you know, which, you know, people are watching it. There's an audience. That's incredible. But, man, to see it in a 100-foot screen is...
It's unreal. To see, especially the photography of this film, is something that I think will blow people away consistently and has consistently been the favorite or the most talked about part of this film, is the way that Michigan looks and the way that we kind of show this world to people. And I am just so... grateful that's how people have responded.
And I should really jump in and acknowledge Alex Bell there, who I don't think we've had a chance to mention yet. Is Alex Bell is our director of photography. He's my business partner and a producer of the film. And so outside of being an incredible person and friend,
he's a really good guy.
He's an awesome guy. He is just has an incredible eye for composition and for color and light, and he really just made it so easy for us to just
make a
beautiful movie,
and combine that with the natural raw beauty of Michigan and the Calumet area. It's just,
all we could do is screw it up from
really,
that point.
You point the camera at the ground, you still get a good shot.
Exactly.
I mean, that's that's the magic formula. You know, really, you just need someone with an eye for it and then a beautiful world to take in. And that's one of the other things that I think we both loved about this movie making experience is it was outside of the studio. It was on location. It was all everything you see in the film is real. It's not. It wasn't built on a Hollywood soundstage. It wasn't done in a green screen studio. It wasn't CGI'd. I mean, you see that in so many films today that CGI and digital are the future and kind of the way you make movies on a computer instead of out in the real world. And that's not superior at all. And I think it benefits so greatly from it and is a testament to the going and shooting on location as a way to make a movie really come alive.
Superior. Hopefully you'll see it in a theater near you. If you didn't get out to one of the Calumet Theater showings, definitely look for it. Perhaps a DVD release coming in the future. And keep an eye on Ed Benda and Paul Stanko and the rest of the crew, because I think you're going to hear more from them as well. Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.